Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The WNYC news team has put together a big series they call Being 12, all about kids in those awkward years that we now call the tweens, variously defined as age 10 to 14 or 9 to 13 or 10 to 15. 12-year-olds, however you define it, are right smack in the middle there. Now, tween culture has become big business. So when the news department asked if there was a musical angle that we could approach, I said there sure is, because a big part of the reason that artists like Taylor Swift have become the musical juggernauts that they are is because of the huge groundswell of support that they get from tweens, many of whom are good music consumers. They still buy music. And that is what has catapulted certain stars to the level that they achieve. Let me give you a little bit of background. First of all, 12-year-olds today are not doing anything different from 12-year-olds 20 years ago. Yes, pop music has always been aimed at teenagers.
Each night I ask the stars up above, why must I be a teenager in love?
But the music industry began to notice something funny in the late 90s. That's when artists like Britney Spears and the band NSYNC sold millions of albums, and the record labels noticed that a surprising number of those albums went to kids in the tween years, when kids are entering middle school and beginning to look at the teenagers as role models. Now, selling Britney Spears and her risque act to 12-year-olds wasn't necessarily the industry's intent, and it wasn't very popular with parents. I spoke with Tyler Bickford from the University of Pittsburgh. He's the author of several studies on tween culture and the media.
You know, that moment in the late 90s with the teen pop acts started to get there, but still it freaked a lot of people out. It was too explicit and too sexual.
So the real maturing, let's say, of the tween market had to wait for another big name to enter the fray.
When Disney, you know, who's this major family brand who parents have a lot of nostalgic affection for and trust from, I think when Disney finally got into the act and said, okay, we're going to figure out about making pop music for kids, that seemed to really shift something in the culture.
That shift he talks about was seismic. American tweens now account for $200 billion of spending each year. That's from a widely cited report by the retail group called Point of Purchase Advertising International, or POPAI. Now, a lot of that spending is on things like video games and fashion, but about 10%, a good $20 billion, is music-related. And that's the kind of thing that caught the attention of the music industry. How did Disney do it? Well, for starters, they built TV shows around actors who could also sing, like Miley Cyrus. And Demi Lovato. And with their cross-marketing experience, they could use pop music as a way to sell lots of other things. In fact, Radio Disney helped create a whole new generation of listeners who, even in the digital age, consume music the old-fashioned way. They discover bands on the radio and then go see them in concert. Outside New York's Beacon Theater, a crowd has gathered for a big multi-artist concert, a mixed crowd, 20-somethings, teenagers, but there's a healthy representation of the tweens, most of them with a parent in tow. 12-year-old Kayla is looking forward to hearing the band called Echosmith, themselves a group of teenage siblings. Their million-selling hit single is called...
Cool Kids. I think it's catchy.
I wish that I could be like the cool kids, 'cause all the cool kids, they seem to fit in. I wish that I could be like the cool kids, like the cool kids.
And many of her fellow tweens agree. It's something that the band itself acknowledges, but carefully. Here, listen to Echosmith's lead singer, 17-year-old Sydney Sirota.
This song has reached so many different kinds of people. And, you know, there is a certain demographic that, you know, tends to like us number-wise more. But there are, you know, so many different types of people that come to our shows and tell us their stories.
What she means is, bands don't just want to be tied to tweens, because if you want long-term success, you need a broader appeal. Once again, Tyler Bickford.
And what we're seeing now seems to be more artists who are doing the Britney Spears NSYNC model of trying to have a much wider audience, as opposed to the 7 years ago model of the Disney Channel and others trying to carve out the niche audiences.
So when Miley Cyrus and Demi Lovato began crossing over from Disney into the wider world of mainstream pop, they brought their original audience, now in their teens and 20s, with them. But they still knew how to reach the current crop of 12-year-olds, like Kayla, whose first concert just a month before this event at the Beacon was a show by ex-Disney star Demi Lovato.
Well, it was my first concert, so I was, like, really excited. And also, like, I know all of her music, so it was just fun.
Now, here's one of the interesting things about tweens. They may have some money from gifts or babysitting, but a huge amount of that $200 billion that they account for each year comes from their parents. Retailers call it the pestering effect, and it's why marketing to tweens has become a $17 billion a year industry.
I think one of the things that tween music was out in front of was the trend of cross-merchandising and cross-marketing and relying more on other sources of revenue. I think that's one of the things that Disney already had a lot of expertise in. So when Disney got into the pop music business, one of the things they were able to do was to think about pop music or the market for pop music as being a space where you can sell concert tickets and DVDs and merchandise.
Now, with 12-year-olds entering the pop music market in such a big way, this can still be a tricky thing for parents. Kayla's mom is standing nearby outside the Beacon Theater.
We buy a couple songs a month. I kind of limit it to that. Nothing with, you know, profanities. She listens to the popular pop songs, but nothing with, you know, bad language.
Tyler Bickford says that sort of negotiation is what made the series known as Kids Bop so successful. Kids Bop featured sanitized versions of current top 40 songs. Tweens knew it wasn't the real thing, but it was better than nothing.
Mr. DJ, some fun to replay. Mr. DJ, won't you turn the music up? Holy girl, on the dance floor, wanting some more.
For example, in 2006, three of the top 10 albums of the year were aimed at tweens. High School Musical, the Curious George soundtrack, and Kids Bop Volume 9. But it wasn't just CDs that tweens were buying.
Buying CDs may still be the least important or less important element here.
The band Echosmith has also noticed that tweens consume music differently. Here's their bass player, Noah Sirota.
It depends on the age, like when we do college kind of things. There's lots of vinyl, and they play lots of like the physical CD, and then like the younger kids more in like the early high school and like that kind of thing. They seem to obviously buy lots of stuff online.
A quick survey of kids outside the Beacon Theater seems to confirm Noah's suspicion. How do they buy their music?
I just download my music.
You may have noticed that most of those voices were girls. Here's the other big thing about the tween music juggernaut. It is driven, mostly, by girls.
The boy band stuff and the, you know, Taylor Swift singer-songwriter stuff has always been, the market has always been primarily, if not totally, to girls. Acts like Hannah Montana and the Jonas Brothers are really targeting girls pretty directly.
So why is that?
I think part of it is that the idea of tweens, right? So tween is kind of a problem for marketers. It's this area in between of kids who are aspiring to be somewhat older and more mature, but adults around them want to limit that somewhat. And so that creates this kind of opportunity and challenge to have a niche where you can balance that stuff. For boys, I think that's less of a problem. Boys can stay younger somewhat longer. So things like cartoons and gross-out humor and action-adventure shows remain relevant and exciting to boys for longer.
So girls who mature faster and engage with the world a little earlier tend to be bigger users of social media. That's how so many tween girls first met a young YouTube musician named Justin Bieber.
Every kiss and every hug, you make me fall in love, and that I know I can't be the only one. Out of this hard, troubled world tonight, with love and life will be you, but I'll be when I'm with you.
So there's a balancing act going on here between aiming too young and risking having an audience that ages out of your music, or aiming too high and ignoring this huge demographic that is active and still buys music. And that balancing act, Tyler Bickford says, is one that has cropped up in some unusual ways.
I'm intrigued, actually, by artists like Rihanna and Katy Perry, and even maybe someone like Iggy Azalea, artists for whom kind of glam is a big part of their look, who wear these kind of baby doll dresses. A couple of years ago, Nicki Minaj had this relationship with this young girl, Sophia Grace, on the Ellen show.
I match. Look, I'm wearing your skirt.
I know, y'all look like you all came together.
Pink is going to keep you happy for the rest of your life.
A lot of which seem to revolve around their shared interest in glamorous dresses and that sort of princess thing.
You wear your crown and you're a queen.
And that sort of visual imagery might be providing a kind of link for them to the kids market also, that kids see that. Kids like Sophie Grace on Ellen see that and get excited by it.
That's Nicki Minaj duetting with her young fan, Sophia Grace, who's only 11 but is already a veteran of social media. Tyler Bickford says this kind of direct contact between an artist and the tween audience is what has driven the continued success of some artists.
You know, any 12-year-old can set up a Twitter account and tag Taylor Swift and might very well get a retweet or a reply. That's even more intimate than having her show up on Radio Disney or seeing her live.
Neuroscientists now know that the music you love in your mid-teens is the music that's likely to stay with you even as you get older. But the music industry didn't need brain scans to know that if you get the kids at 12 and keep them when they're 15, they'll probably still be with you at 20 and beyond. Because after all, 12-year-olds are a renewable resource. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.
Got a blank space, baby. And I'll write your name.